I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, welcome to an episode of the Halfway Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined by Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm not too good, Tom. How are you, Gunnar?
Yeah, doing all right, thank you.
Right, as you can tell my voice, I'm still suffering the side effects of COVID. I'm about to say this in the wee daft bonus podcast, but I'm just going to tell us, it's still out there, guys. You don't want this. It is murder. Be safe. Wash your hands and wear a mask. This is torture. That's all I'm going to say. Right, well, straight to our league. I'm going to talk as little as possible this week, guys. I'm going to be Gunnar and Tom and doing all the heavy loading. So league top three is, we'll get change at the top. Number one is Hab United. 86 points, 8-9 overall. Number two is Jack Curran, no change. And up to third is Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey. And the highest score I could find this week was 109 points. The team name, anyone but Rangers. And they had Clark for 10 points, Captain Tavernier, 16, Cochrane, 11, Edwards, 5, Ralston, 10, Vice Jota, 29, Furuhashi, 14, Kent, 8, Niskanen, 2, Watkins, 2, and Watt to, so a damn good score. So we'll go to our scores and rank, and I'll take a wee break here. Gunnar, I'll go to you first.
Yes, I've done actually better than I remembered. 82 points overall, just a one from Gordon and goals. Captain Tavernier for 16. McMahon got me one. Tanzer, 6. Ralston, 10. Harks for 2 points. Then vice-captain Furuhashi, 24. Jota, 19. Cummins, just one. Boyce, nothing. And Tony Watt, 2 points.
And your overall rank?
I think it's around 500 in the Mega League. Yeah, 501st in the Mega League.
Okay, Tom, same with you?
My rank is 669. This game week, I got 90 points. I had Clark in goal for 10, Captain Tav, 16, Cochrane, 11, Edwards, 5, and Ralston, 10. Midfield, I had Harks. Vice-captain was Jota for 29. Ronan for 3, non-playing player Strachan remained in the 11 for 0, Tony Watt up front 2 points, and Ramirez 2 points.
Okay, and I had an overall score of 89 points this week, and that's Gordon for 1, Captain Tavernier 16, McMahon 1, Ralston 10, McCart and Fraser 6 apiece, Harks 2, vice-captain Furuhashi 24, Jota 19 and Watt Ramirez 2 apiece up front, which gives me an overall rank of 308, my highest yet. And that's 7 green arrows in a row for me, so that's also going to come to a stop at some point, but I'll take it as it goes. Right, we'll go back to game week 13 and we'll look at the results. So, where are we? On the Saturday we had Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 2. Hearts 5, Dundee United 2, St Johnstone, St Mirren 0-0. And on the Sunday, we had Dundee 2, Celtic 4, Rangers 4, Ross County 2. So before I go to you, Tom, any stand out for you there, Gunnar?
Well, maybe I've just looked it up here just now. So we had Gary Mackay-Stevens. He was one of our picks, I think, at the start of the season. Ben Whitburn, he's taken over from him there last game, scoring a brace. And maybe the other thing I want to touch on is Aberdeen. It's really not going well for them at the minute. Like going forward, it's too passive defensively. They're very open. They've lost Calvin Ramsey now as well to injury. And I think I've watched the highlights just before we come on again. And just the goals, but even from that, it was just too little from Aberdeen. And I want to say that's the same thing I've seen in like the last games or the highlights I've watched from them as well. And Motherwell just had it very, very easy in this game. Unfortunately, I think I brought Tony Watt in. I think that was this week where I brought him in. It might have been the -4 even. But yeah, it was Van Veen who got the goals there. And honourable mention there for Kyogo's goal in that game against Dundee. Absolute thunder cunt of a goal. Fantastic.
Right, as you can probably hear Tom rattling papers in the background. So Tom, anything to add on the game week that you can take us through your top 20?
Just to sort of add to what Gunnar was saying, wait, I'm on the wrong page.
Too many pages,
that's my problem. So just when we thought Tony Watt was the main man at Motherwell, Van Veen goes and scores a brace. I kind of thought it was a bit harsh on Aberdeen. Motherwell had two shots on target and got two goals, whereas Aberdeen had eight shots on target and no goals. And three of these shots on target came from Ferguson, who also hit the woodwork. So a bit of a shame there. I don't think Aberdeen have been doing too badly recently. They beat Hearts and Hibs recently, and I think drew with Rangers, so they're a bit hit or miss.
Can I just interject? But that's kind of like my point. So it's two shots on target there for Motherwell, and you can see two goals. That's what I mean. It's too easy for them. Like even maybe if they're like dominating possession, dominating the game, it doesn't take much for like opponents to get a goal against them. That was kind of my point.
Okay, Tom, back to you.
Point taken.
Through you after.
Sorry.
No, I understand. The defence isn't great. I'll give them that. Hearts 5, Dundee United 2. Obviously, a goals fest for Hearts there. Woodburn got 2. I don't think he's been too prolific in terms of attacking returns so far. Cochrane, a goal and assist in this game. Kingsley, goal. McInniff, who we kind of thought about at the start of the season. He was like a cheapy option for us. So definitely something to keep an eye on there. Despite Dundee United being on the heavy end of a beating, we have a goal from Ryan Edwards again, who's doing quite well. Nicky Clark got a goal as well. I was surprised to see United concede so many since they've been quite defensively sound so far this season. Cochrane, again, Hearts recently, I don't think they've had a clean sheet since about game week 8, but with the Hearts defence, particularly Cochrane, they do tend to get attacking returns, as we can see a goal and assist in this game, so that's good. St Johnstone, St Mirren, battle of the Saints, nothing to really talk about there. But I did notice when I was looking at the lineups that McGrath was playing up front with Curtis Bain, so that's maybe something to keep an eye on, a bit of out of position action there. And then we had 4-2 Sunday. Celtic won 4-2 against Dundee. We've kind of talked in the past that we kind of thought the three Celtic players to have was Jota, Kyogo and Ralston. I think this kind of highlights the game. Obviously, Jota got the first goal and Kyogo scored with an assist from Ralston. Then Ralston assisted Jota and then Jota assisted Kyogo. So I think these are the three boys to have. I actually still don't have Furuhashi after I got rid of him when he was injured, but it's certainly going to be a priority of mine getting him back. And another 4-2 game was Rangers versus Ross County, which we've seen Bakuna. He signed from Huddersfield in August. This was his first start so far this season in all competitions, and he managed to provide a goal and assist, which was very good. So definitely something to keep an eye on there. Is it just a flash in the pan, or is he going to become a sort of standout player? Aribo again, a goal and assist, but we know from previous seasons and also so far this season, Rangers midfielders can be quite patchy. So we've also got the added factor of a new manager. We might see a new manager bounce, but that's yet to be seen. We don't even know who the guy is yet. And that was my lineup.
Any 20s go that still?
Oh, top 20, yep. So game week 13, the top 20, what consisted of that there? We have three goalkeepers this week. Defenders, we've only got 6. Midfielders, 10. and forwards 1. If we look at the previous totals from game week 1 up until 12, so far we've had 22 goalkeepers, 90 defenders, 82 midfielders and 42 forwards, giving us totals of 25 goalkeepers, 96 defenders, 92 midfielders and 43 forwards. So the defenders and the midfielders are still the standout. And we've previously mentioned that you don't have to put a lot of money into the defence. It seems to be sort of mid-range priced defenders that are doing quite well, like the likes of Cochrane and Edwards. Whereas the midfielder, it tends to be the sort of premium in that position. So the likes of Furuhashi, Yota, Boyle, all these guys are getting the returns in midfield. And then forwards, you can kind of pick a few cheapos up front. It's not too bad. If we look at the makeup of this game week, the goalkeepers were Clark, Kelly and Anik, all of which kept clean sheets this week, so no surprises there. Within the defenders, we had Cochrane with his goal and assist, Ralston with his two assists. Tav got an assist and bonus. Gordon for St Johnston clean sheet, as did McCarthy and Johansson. Midfielders, obviously Yota and Furuhashi with their glowing display for Celtic. Woodburn with his two goals. Aribo and Bakuna, we mentioned those guys. At Dundee, we had McMullen. He got two assists versus Celtic. Kind of mentioned him at the start of the season. Kent, obviously, with his goal. Cameron Devlin at Hearts, doing quite well. And Hungbo, the Ross County player, 2.8 mid. Not really seen a lot of him so far this season, so I think he's maybe a one-week wonder. And then up front, our one forward was Van Veen, who managed to bag his brace.
Okay, well done. The fixtures for the upcoming game week is a blank game week. It's not as blank as it was, mind you. There's a game added to it, but now we've got four fixtures coming up. We've got Dundee United versus Aberdeen, Motherwell versus Hearts, St Mirren versus Livingston, and a game on Wednesday night is Ross County versus Hibernian. So before I come to you for your transfers, captain's vice captain's pick, I want to first of all plug the cup again for the start of the podcast. We've got a new cup starting in game week 14. The Fantasy Football Scotland Royal Tate Rumble. Basically what it is rather a knockout cup. It'll be groups. Yeah, it'll become apparent before the deadline when the groups appear on Twitter, thanks to Gunnar's artwork again. You'll be in groups, and what will happen is it'll be 3 or 4 game weeks and your scores will be tallied up. And then depending on who maybe will play in the game, they'll go through to the next round. Now originally I said it was going to be like a knockout round, but the more I thought about it, I thought, well, we'll score the Rumble, we'll keep it the Rumble format. So it'll be getting different groups. So like if 30 qualify, it'll be another 2 groups of 15, say, and then another, say the top 5 again. The last group would be, again, maybe a group of 5 or 6 people over a segment of game weeks, and that would be the winner. So rather than knockout ties, it's a Rumble format. So a cumulative score over the space of so many game weeks. I will put up a new cup thread before it kicks off, explain all again, update it all. And again, if you want in that cup, DM me at Fantasy Half. Plenty of spaces, plenty of time. It doesn't really matter how many people play because it's easy to manage when it's just done as a tallying scores up. So again, Fantasy Half, and we'll plug it after the podcast. Right, so transfers, captains, vice-captains then. Blank game week, Gunnar, where are you going to attack it? Who's your transfer in if you're having one? And captain, vice-captain.
Are we not going to do our wild card there?
Do you want me to do wild card's more the topic?
Yeah, sure. Then I'm going to have to go on that. See, I have my wildcard team up
Tom, we'll
here.
Go you first then for transfers, captains, vice-captains. Let Gunnar find it.
So vice-captain, I think I'm probably going to go Boyle. Hibs are playing Ross County and Hibs are at home. Ross County obviously conceded 4 last weekend. We know the defence hasn't been great. So I think Boyle, vice-captain, considering he tends to score more goals, not so much assists. And I think this is a good week to maybe go with a bit of a rogue pick when it comes to the captaincy. Ryan Edwards has been doing quite well at Dundee United. He has been scoring goals, and I do fancy Dundee United to keep a clean sheet at home. I think after having 5 put past them against Hearts, I think the defence particularly will have a point to prove. And I'm hoping for a clean sheet against Aberdeen and possibly some attacking returns from Edwards, so I'm going captain with him. Transfer-wise, I'm a bit undecided because I don't have enough money to get Furuhashi, so I'm going to have to work out who to downgrade. I don't really want to downgrade Paul McGinn in defence because Hibs are going to have a double-double coming up. So that's a concern. So it might have to be Ramirez, you know. I think I might have to downgrade him to a cheapie and use the cash to try and upgrade one of my mids, either Hacks or Connor Ronan, to Furuhashi. So I'm undecided, but that's what's going through my head just now.
So if you downgrade to a player playing this week, but to switch to another player?
Yeah, it'd have to be.
And just to follow up your point, Hibs are away. To Ross County, they're not homeless. They're away Wednesday night.
Are they?
Yep. So does that change your boil, vice captain? Nope.
Nope. Nah. Sticking with
it. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Right, Gunnar, same question to you then.
Yeah, so I'm in a bit of a pickle. So my bench, they're all not playing. So that's three players already. And then I have my non-playing player then and two more in my starting 11 who are also not playing. I've got two frees, but I don't really want to be taking out any of these players that are not playing. So I've got like Tavernier, Ralston, Furuhashi, Yota, and then Cummins. So the one player that I would happily transfer and make a move on would be Cummins. All the others I would probably want to keep for next week. Otherwise, that would be like banking in a transfer and for game week 15. Vice-captain, I'll probably stick on Boyle as well. Captain, I think that's a little bit harder. Before Tom started talking, I had my captaincy on Gordon. I'm just like hoping Hearts can keep a clean sheet, but they're away tomorrow. Well, I've got Tony Watt as well, who I probably want the goal off. So I don't have Edwards. So I've got McMahon, but Tanzer in defense, who could be an option against Libby there to get maybe an attack and return and a clean sheet. But captaincy, it's really tough this week. Boyle, I'll definitely keep, and then captaincy, I'll probably see what I'll see over on Twitter during the week and what the other podcasts come up with, and see if I can get some inspiration.
Maybe do a poll, gonna.
Maybe do a captain poll. That would be a shout, Peter. Good idea. And transfers, yeah. Like I say, I'm in this pickle. I don't really know what to do. I have two frees. I'll probably just make one. How would you comments to Anderson of Livy, maybe? Just another cheapie there. At least he plays. Cummins only gets like the last 20, 15 minutes of these games. So, yeah, probably just make a cheapie to cheapie move. Bit sideways, but at least Anderson, he gets 90 minutes most of the time.
Right, myself, my transfer's quite easy to explain, really, because I've got my captain in back here and he's not playing, so I'm going to go my cap to Doig. Hibs, because Doig's do drop to 2.5 as well, so he's one of these 2.5 defenders. I'll bring him in, no problem there. That gives me 9 players playing. I'll just keep Tavernier, Ralston, Furuhashi and Jota's bench, and I'll probably have Captain Boyle and Vice-Captain Watt or Ramirez, depending on team news. I think that's quite easy enough for me, just hold to next week.
I mean, do we know if Boyce is back?
It's a question on that coming up.
Mm. Yeah, he's still flagged. Okay.
Wait and we can answer it there.
All right.
So, one minute, I'm trying to do here. It's on silly with Zoom. Right, so what we'll do now is move on to our topic and questions. Because the topic's quite a long one, we'll do the questions first, and then we'll go to the topic. Mm. Ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to throw you off again, Gunnar, but you get your notes in a different order. Right, so the questions were, the first question. It's from Josh McSee, Footblog. Would it be wise to stay away from bringing in Rangers assets just now due to the managerial shift? Gunnar, thoughts?
Yeah, so we're addressing the bear in the room, yeah. I mean, I've had Tavernier. I still have him. And I wasn't particularly interested in any Rangers players when Steven Gerrard was still there. So now that he's gone, obviously you might have the new manager bounce, but we're going to have to wait and see how, that's kind of like the thing of this podcast, wait and see how the new manager sets them up. New manager might get more attack and returns, for example, out of Kent, might play him in a different system. New manager might do something with Tavernier, maybe push him on the right wing, get Patterson involved. So in that regard, kind of it's a wait and see. But it was a wait and see for me before that. Like I wouldn't have brought in Sakala, for example, after the hat trick. Wasn't particularly interested in bringing any of the midfielders in because the attacking returns were all kind of like spread out. So in that regard, it doesn't really change the situation for me that much.
Plus, you'll get the benefit of this week being a cup week, so you can watch it without worrying about team news. Dom, same question to you?
Yeah, I think I probably echo what Gunnar was saying. We all have Tav. Do we want any additional Rangers players? I'm not rushing towards any, to be honest with you. Out of the next three fixtures after, obviously, the blank, they've got Livingston, Hibs and Dundee. So Livingston and Dundee, a couple of plum fixtures there. I would probably be waiting to see. I think the cup game will be a good insight into maybe if the new manager's present at this point, what he's planning on doing. But I wouldn't be racing towards any Rangers players anyway, just because other than Tav, there's not really a standout. And even him, you know, he could see his position being given to Patterson, depending on the style of the new manager and what kind of system they want to play. So it's all a bit up in the air just now. So I would let the dust settle and then see how things look after that.
Only thing is maybe a new manager is going to want to get off to a good start. So he'll probably play his best players or what he thinks is his best players. So you might not see as much rotation in, say, like the back four, chopping and changing like the center halves because European games coming up or whatever. So you probably get Goldson playing more often than not. So that could be like the only player that I'd be interested in next to Taff. But that would then also rely on them keeping clean sheets. Then he would be like the only player next to Taff that I'd be keeping an eye on for now.
I look at it kind of like when Rodgers left middle of the night, and it's like during the season, and somebody's going to come in. Similar kind of rat-like behaviour, to be honest with Steven Gerrard. I mean, that's your idea. It's kind of ratty behaviour. But the guy's going to come in, see if it's supposedly it's Giovanni Bang Bronckhorst, 1 o'clock tomorrow, is remember right. Let's say it is him. He's got a game on Sunday. What is really going to change and implement? He's going to probably keep the team are playing the same style of football. He's going to not to change it too much. Similar to Lennon done with Rodgers. Stick to the same formation. Maybe a wee bit of tactical tweak here and there. I don't think there's going to be much change. He's going to probably play the same back four if they're fit, the same 3-3 midfield attack if they're fit, unless people stand out like a sore thumb. I think he's not going to have much of a change. I think Tav's position will be safe until he gets more time with the players. But will he get more time with the players? Because they're playing game week in, week out now. It's the international break's over. European football's back. But if you've got any just player, I wouldn't be rid of him. I'd keep them. And I'm no getting rid of Tav. I think Tav's going to have his place secure for foreseeable future. Right, next up is a question from the Scottish fantasy football community, and they're asking, will you be using any chips in game week 17 or game week 18? And if so, what chips and why, Tom?
Not really something I've considered. I still hold the wild card. I don't think I've played any chips so far this season. Probably go triple captain or something like that.
Well, we're down to you, right? In game week 17, Hibs have got Motherwell at home, Livingston away, right? So that's the double. The Livingston have got Hearts and Hibs at home, so they've got a double at home. And then the week after, Celtic have got Motherwell at home, Ross County away, Dundee's got Ross County and Hibs both away. Hibs have got St Mirren away, Dundee at home, Rangers got Hearts away, St Johnstone at home, Ross County have got Dundee and Celtic at home, and St Johnstone have got Aberdeen at home, Rangers away. So,
because we can use the two chips in the same game week as well. So are we triple captain and bench boost in game week 18? Is not looking too shabby because you've got Hibs with double game week. Fancy that. Celtic, double game week. Motherwell and Ross County. Rangers, double game week. I'm not that fussed about Ross County, St Johnston. The only problem would be Hearts. Their only fixture is Rangers, and I think most of us have two or three Hearts players, but you never know. Depends who this new manager is going to be. Is he going to be another Pedro Caixinha? We don't know.
Highly doubtful.
Probably not, no. Yeah, I think definitely triple captain could be on the cards, especially if Celtic are on a good run, because you see the likes of Yota and Furuhashi getting some big scores. I mean, vice-captain Yota got his 29 points this week, so if they're firing all cylinders, definitely.
That's my thoughts exactly. Game week 18 to me is a... If Celtic look good going into it, I think I'll be triple captain either Furuhashi or Jota, and if I build the team the way I've got it worked out, I think I'll bench boost as well. I don't see there any other week coming up with that many double games. I don't know. You know, next one will be the League Cup final, but it's only going to be two teams, so it won't be as many. So I think this is the plum week, game week 18, if you've not used a chip ship to use them. What about you, Gunnar? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm the same. Out of 17 and 18, I think 18 is pretty much set up for playing chips. Like, if you plan for it accordingly, like you say, you could play your bench boost, but triple captain in Yota or Furuhashi in that week, that it seems pretty set up for it, and pretty much
even
Tavernier, yeah, good shout. But the only caveat maybe is we've seen how quickly things can change with COVID and games being called off. We're going into December. I think we had it last year as well, that there was games called off just for the state of the pitches. So that is maybe the only thing. It's still a couple of weeks away and a lot could change. But standing as it is now, then game week 18 is pretty much set up to play a couple of chips, yeah.
Would you just be playing one? You think about it if it comes up?
The triple captain. And then, like you said, if I set my team up right in the run-up to it now and I have a good bench, then I wasn't aware that we could play two chips in a week. Then I would bench boost as well, yeah.
Right, and the last question is from FPL Silent Bats, at Silent Bats. Injury updates ahead of blank, so I just looked at my own team and assumed people are looking at Boyce and Ramsey and Ramirez as the three players that all people have. I done a quick Twitter search. Ramsey's definitely out. So if you've got him, I'd get short of him. I wouldn't have. There's no point. He's probably going to drop in value because he's not playing. Ramirez has been flagged for weeks, but he's played the last game weeks. So I'm ignoring that. I think he's fine. And Boyce, I could find nothing on. So with the Boyce situation, I would just be waiting for early team news, which you should get. I don't know if anything you might add to that. I think I've covered that.
No, I think you've covered that there. I think Ramirez is a bit like Rafinha in FPL. He's been flagged for weeks, but he plays.
Constantly played. Right, so that takes us to our topic then. So I asked Tom 2 weeks ago now, and he's still a single man, if you had a game week wildcard 14, just... Some people were talking about it on Twitter. How could you build a wildcard 14 on game week 14? Sorry. Also, this game you get two free transfers out of wildcard, so it's not as bad as it is like in FPL. So I'm going to quickly talk you through my thoughts. Right, I don't think it's a bad idea. I know, Gunnar, you would say you would do it, but let me look it up. Sort your sticker up. So this week, the games are much to sit in. There's nothing really there that's like any team that's better than another. Maybe Hibs away to Ross County is the only one that stands out. But as we mentioned before, Hibs have got two game weeks coming up back-to-back, double game weeks. And Livy's got a game week in game week 17, double game week. And there's two home games against Hearts and Hibs, and they're a hard place to go. So I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility. You could do a wildcard game week 14, bench some of your players, like Rangers players, Celtic players, and then come out at game week 15, 16 and be ready with six players for the first double game week. So what's your thoughts behind it, Tom? Your thoughts behind it, Gunnar? And then we'll talk for a wild card. So we'll go you first, Tom.
I'm not that keen on the idea of doing a wild card this week, but I've not won together anyway.
Gunnar?
So, I don't think I would wildcard. Free hit would have been perfect for this year, but we don't get it in this game. It takes a lot of forward planning, I think, if you wanted to wildcard now. You made a good point there. If, like, three hits could be something that needs to be definitely into.
All I've had is time.
No, but like let's play it through. So like three hips, it's what you need in the team. Definitely Tavernier. We said we wouldn't drop him. Keeping one of Kyogo and or Jota and benched him this week is something that I would definitely do. I can see a lot of people transferring one of them out this week maybe. So we might have a drop in volume there. Just a 0.1, but just because they're quite expensive. There are premiums in midfield, so if people wanted to get someone else in, I could see that. But it's kind of like if you wildcard now, and even if you forward plan, but if you overlook something, then you just put yourself in a position where you don't have your wildcard anymore. So I would rather take a -4 this week and like try make it through like that. So like we're all in the same position with these four games just this game week. So I don't think the average score is going to be that high. So you could definitely roll with it with just a -4, even a -8. I wouldn't use the wild card now.
Well, I agree with you. I just think if somebody wanted to be a bit bold and they want to try to maximise their points this week, do a bit of chasing, it could be done.
Well, I'll definitely see what my wild card team would have got if I did play my wild card. Yeah, we'll see. Look at right. that.
Okay, Tom, we'll start with you then. Goalkeepers.
Goalkeepers, I've went Anik and Strijic. I seem to be back in a 0-0 in the St Mirren versus Levy game, so I've went for those two.
Right, I've went Strijic and a cheapie. Three thing behind that is, I've already mentioned, St Mirren I've got. So, I've got St Mirren, Rangers at home, Aberdeen away, and then a double. So, it wouldn't be long-term, but he's in for the games, and he's potentially getting clean sheets like anybody else. Who's your goalkeepers?
I've just stuck with Gordon and a cheapie.
So you're not changing, even if there's no double games in that?
No, I've looked at Strijic too, but it's like you say, they play St Mirren this week, then Rangers. I don't expect many points from that. Aberdeen, if they can pick up their attacking form, I don't know. And then Hearts and Hips, how many points is Strijic getting from it? Maybe safe points, but if you see Hearts this week scoring 5, like how many safe points is he going to get there? That's minus points, if anything. And then if Hips are firing with Boyle and that, then pretty much the same. So I just don't expect many points from Strijic there.
See, I've got Gordon, but my thinking there was in his next 5 games, he's got Celtic Rangers. Whereas Livingston, I've just got Rangers in a double game week, but it's a wild card. Right, defenders, Tom, go talk to your defenders.
Defenders, I have went with double Dundee United against Aberdeen. I've got Ryan Edwards and Scott McMahon. I've went double Hearts. I've got Cochrane and I've got Michael Smith. And I've went with Paul McGinn at Hibs. The main thinking here is there's big potential for returns at both ends of the pitch. So even if they don't keep clean sheets, they're still in with a chance of goals or assists.
Okay. Right, I've kept Tavernier. It's one player on the bench. I went Doig for Hibs, part of that triple game week coming up, double-double coming up. Mulgrew for Dundee United, who I would eventually turn to Ralston, one of my free transfers. Fitzwater from Livingston for the double game week. And Clark, just a cheap player off the 5th bench option. Gunnar, you're back 5.
Yeah, so I've kept Tavernier and Ralston. Going to bench them then. And I'm bringing in Doig, Mulgrew and Mugabe because he's 2.5 mil. I know they're playing Hearts, but they've got Dundee in the game straight after, and the game week straight after. So that was kind of thinking behind that.
Right, in the midfield then, Tom, 5 midfielders.
I've went Boyle for obvious reasons. He's kind of the main man at Hibs. He's on penalties. I've got Harks, Spittle, Conor Ronan, and a non-playing mid. I think this is probably the hardest position for me to pick players, just because most of the premium midfielders are not playing. So Celtic obviously aren't playing, Rangers aren't playing. So it really just leaves us with Boyle and a few other guys. I think it's probably important to have your non-playing mid just because a lot of these fixtures can probably go either way. So by playing a non-playing player and sticking a few guys on your bench, you're maybe going to maximise your potential for points because a few of these guys, they might score, they might not. We're not really overly confident and we don't really know what the final scores are going to be. Most teams, apart from obviously the recently introduced Hibs Ross County. The other ones are fairly evenly matched, so I think a non-playing player is good.
You went about a different way than me and Gunnar. I think we've went for benching the players, so that's why I'm not going for the non-playing player. So I've went for, I've kept Boyle, I've kept Jota, who I'll bench, Charles Cook for Ross County, Slattery and Niskanen for Dundee United, and with the transfers I mentioned, obviously Mulgrew will become Ralston, and Slattery or Charles Cook would become Furuhashi, because I've still got 3.8 million in the bank. Your midfield, Gunnar?
Yeah, I've also kept Boyle. I've kept my non-player player, Strachan. And then I've looked at the last results, so I brought in Woodburn, Harks for Dundee United, and Regan Charles Cook.
Okay. And up front, Tom?
Up front, I have Wart, for obvious reasons. Obviously, Van Veen got the two goals last week, but I think Wart's been more consistent. And he's in, I think he's the top scoring striker in the game, so can't really look past him there. I've reluctantly went Nisbet. I don't think it's any secret my feelings on Nisbet this season. He's overpriced. He's not really returning, but he plays against Ross County this game week. That's kind of drew me in there, and then he's going to have two doubles coming up. Am I going to get him into my own team? Probably not. But he fills the space in this wild card. And then third in the striker role, I've went Boyce, but if he's not fit, Ramirez. But Boyce definitely would be my preference there.
Right, I've went down the route of Watt up front, because that easy second week fixture, I think, with Dundee. Anderson for the double up coming up, and Nisbet for the double-double, like you said. That's pretty much my thinking behind it. Gunnar?
Yeah, I was thinking if Boyce is out, then, well, I'm not going to include him. So Nisbet in. Well, pretty much the front three there from Peter Watt, for obvious reasons. Anderson for the double, like we said. And Nisbet, because, I mean, can't really look past the two doubles down the line. And he's got a game this week, yeah.
Do you still have Nisbet, Gunnar?
I took him out for Tony Watt last week, okay. And then Van Veen scored, so I'm lucky.
Take your time with this, but you like this, but so I hope that's gave people food for thought. I think it's in my wild card. That's plenty of options. None of our teams are that similar, really. So if you want to do something bold and fly up the rank, there you go. And there's two ways of playing it, like Tom said. So you could just go all out and then build out, or you could do what me and Gunnar's kind of mentioned and bench players so you can back in a week later and you're not really missing out and you get two free transfers. Okay, that's us finished with the Scottish game. Anything else to add? Tom, Gunnar?
Nope, I think we're good.
Right, we'll go on to the FPL. Right, over to our league first, and it is no change at the top. Uchi Gang, Bernie McDermott, still top, 766. Up to second, Melvino 11, Melvin Poole, 760. And third, Conquering Line, that's Robbie Dempsey, third in both leagues, but that's quite impressive, 758. So we'll go to, what am I looking for here? Scores and rank. My head's up. Hey, Gunnar, what was your score and your rank at FPL this week?
I've got 53 points and my rank, I've dropped. I'm on a red arrow, 225k. Took my eye off the ball a little bit there these past couple of weeks. Been on holiday, been off sick, and just like didn't fancy playing fantasy that well. do you know, I was thinking about this because if I compare it to last season where I was basically sitting in the gaff most of the time, you know, and like just being in lockdown and just had nothing better to do than watching a lot of football. It's this season is very different, just with work and like so much stuff. And like, it's a week or two. And if you don't keep up with it, then you'll fall behind. But yeah, 53 points, the minus one from Sanchez. Fantastic. 12 points of Trent, 14 Cancelo, 2 points Chilwell, Livramento, 6 points. Captain Salah, 10. Mbeumo, 2 points. 3 points of Saka. 2 points each from Antonio and Vardy. And just the 1 point of Tony. And then absolute mayor here. Rafinha, 9 points on the bench. And Diaz, 6 points on the bench. Ooh. I really thought the Brentford lads could do something against Norwich. I was wrong.
Tom, yourself?
My current rank is 154,771. I got 60 points this game week. In goals, I had Sa for 2 points. Back line of Liveramento for 6. Chilwell got me 2. Duffy got me 2. And Trent got me 12. In midfield, new addition to the team, Gallagher got me 11 points. Townsend got me 3. Captain Salah got me 10. Rafinha got me 9. Up front, Ronaldo got me 1 point. And vice captain, that doesn't really matter. Vardy got me 2 points. I was a bit gutted because I had Foster on the bench for 11 points. So, missed out on a 9-point swing
you
there.
You wouldn't have picked Foster, wouldn't you? Not a bit. Nobody would get to pick Foster.
Probably not. Against Arsenal, Arsenal have showed a bit of form recently. So, yeah, probably wouldn't have picked him.
Right, I'm up to 97k now, back in top 100. I'm happy with that. My points this week were Sane goals for 2, Cancelo 14, Christensen 2, Trent 12, Smith for 08, Captain Salah 10, Rafinha 9, new recruit Son 3, he's bought in for the next couple of game weeks, quite honest, Jesus 2, 21 and 202, and I left Foster on the bench like yourself, Tom, and Livermento for 6 points as well. But still, a green arrow, happy with that. So, Tom, you've got me by FPL chat, so take it away.
So I was kind of looking at the fixture ticker this week on the old Fantasy Football Scout website, and I do my usual weekly sort by difficulty for the top for the next 5 fixtures, and I noticed that Spurs were sitting on top. So I had a wee look, and obviously Spurs have got Conte in now as manager. We might see a bit of a new manager bounce, and I was kind of thinking about Kane or Son. I had a wee look at the stats for the past 4 game weeks. Not too fantastic for either of the two guys. Kane has had 2 shots on target in the past 4 game weeks and 6 shots in total, so averaging maybe a shot a game. He's had 1 big chance total, and he has created 2 big chances, however, so he's maybe sitting a bit deeper and trying to create stuff. He's only one of 2 strikers that created more than 1 big chance. The other one was Dennis at Watford, so that's something to keep an eye on. Son, again, 2 shots on target in the past 4. He's had 5 shots in total, so again, not that big a goal threat. He has actually had 3 big chances total, so he's not taking the opportunities. However, he has created 9 chances in the past 4 game weeks, so a better assist potential there. The past 4 game weeks as well, the fixtures for Spurs were Newcastle, West Ham United, Man United and Everton. So they weren't too bad. They managed to get a 3-2 win against Vitesse in the Europa Conference, which isn't, you know, it's not a prestigious competition. You'd kind of expect them to do that. Maybe not concede 2 goals at home, but there we go. Another team that also has a new manager in is Hull. Newcastle, obviously they got Hull in. He's reunited with Callum Wilson. I thought, wonder what could happen here. He's only 7.3 million, so he offers us up a sort of mid-price forward option. He's had 4 goals in 7 games so far this season. He's been injured for 4 game weeks. He's blanked the last 2 game weeks. However, the opposition was Chelsea and Brighton, 2 of the most solid defences in the league so far this season. So I don't think he's too bad an option, to be honest with you. And we also have Saint-Maximin. He's the 4th highest scoring striker in the game, and he's only 6.8 million. So another interesting option there. And Newcastle, they're actually 2nd for the next 5 fixtures on the fixture difficulty. They face Brentford, Arsenal, Norwich, Burnley and Leicester. So not bad there at all.
Are you finished?
Yep.
All right then, so that takes us to our transfer spots this week then. So Tom, you've kind of covered mine. I have got a front 3 of Jesus, Tony and Antonio. And I'm thinking of getting rid of Jesus and downgrading to Wilson for those fixtures, like you said.
Nice.
Yeah, that frees me up plenty of cash for when I want to either go to one of the Chelsea back line lads, upgrade Christensen, or to kind of see what pans out in a few weeks. What about yourself, Gunnar? What's your transfer thoughts this week?
Yeah, so Sanchez, he's obviously suspended. So that might force myself into a goalkeeper transfer. I've got two frees, so it's not too bad. I might just use the one on Sanchez. Looking at playing a 5-2-3 at the moment.
With only
Salah and Rafinha in midfield. Saka's playing Liverpool, so he's definitely getting benched. Mbeumo, same thing like against Norwich, kind of. So I want to back the Brentford lads, but I like the Wilson shout. So maybe I'll do something there. But it's more than likely that I'll just make the one move, get another goalkeeper in, Captain Salah, obviously, and yeah, roll my other free transfer.
Tom, you're transferring captain.
I've got San Marcel, obviously, Wolves defence, stinking up my team. So I was considering taking a hit because I've still not took a hit so far this season in FPL. So I was thinking Marcel to Cancelo because I've got the funds there to do it. I might actually go Sata McCarthy as well. McCarthy's had 3 clean sheets in the last 4, and that kind of frees me up a little bit of money to do something with Townsend because he's not done a lot for me recently, and he's another one that's kind of stinking up the team. He had a couple of, he had 12 points, 2 points, 10 points, 10 points, and then it's been 2s and then a 3 last week, so not great from him. So I think he maybe has to move on.
Is McCarthy Southampton? Is that who he's keeper?
Yes. Right. Yeah, because as I mentioned, I'm prone to fiddling about with the fixture ticker, and if you kind of go quite far ahead, Southampton are kind of in that sort of top third, so whereas Wolves are second bottom, so and they're not even done great recently, so I think I need to do something. I'm reluctant to do a goalkeeper transfer, but sometimes you've just got to grit your teeth and get on with it.
I don't like having Sa either, Tom, but there's bigger fish to fry around. Well, my deal, I'd like to go to Gaeta, Crystal Palace, mm-hmm. and stick there for the rest of the season, but whether I get to do that or not, I don't know. Salah captain, I think that's just... Now, I've got Son at home to Leeds, so it's food for thought, but I think I'll just stick with Salah. The fact I've got Son's just good enough, I think. And like I said, I'm leaning towards Jesus to Paulson for the next 4 game weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Any else to add? Football wise, Gunnar, FPL wise, any?
I think that's me, yeah.
Tom?
No, that's me.
That's your last one, Tom? You back next week?
No, this is the last one.
Right. Tom's only 21, guys. Tom's away for a couple of weeks. Isn't like there, but you got to get to tell people, Tom, you're a married man now, this is it. This is when you disappear off the podcast and know what happened.
Don't want people worrying about me now.
No, I just don't do it anymore. Like me and Gunnar. Right, so before we head into our plugs, I'm going to plug the cup one more time. So, Fantasy Football Scotland, Royally Rumble, starts game week 14. What game week to start as well, eh? A blank game week. Mm. Yeah, that's the way it is. If you want to join at Fantasy Half, you've got up to the day it kicks off. Even if I put the graphics out with the participants, it doesn't matter. I can always add you on as long as in before kickoff, I can put you into the game. And we will be taking it for there. So, Gunnar, get your plugs in.
Yeah, I'm at Gunnar_FPL. I've made all the graphics for the cup. I'm going to do a captain poll this week because I think it's going to be an interesting one. Get in touch, any fantasy-related or FIFA-related questions. hit me up on Twitter.
Tom, plugs?
I am at @FFS_scout on Twitter. You can hit me up there. I'm having 2 weeks off, guys, so I don't want any rate my teams for the next fortnight.
No RMTs. Right, that is us then. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week after the game, which has been good on next week, so we'll work it off pod Gunner. Again, thanks for listening, and if you want to take part in the cup, DM me at Fantasy Half. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye for me. We'll be right back.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.